Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John and chapter 20. John and chapter 20. Life keeps moving along. It's not going to slow up. It's going to keep on moving. Everybody that's an old person knows that. Middle-aged people, they figure it out as they go along. Young people, it takes a while for it to sink in, but things are going to keep changing. They're not going to stay the same. Some of you are old enough to remember. I was reminded of this week. How many of you are old enough to remember when you had to get up off of the couch or the chair to turn the television channel? I remember that. Amen. All right. How many remember when you turned the TV on and it took 5 minutes for the tubes to warm up? How many remember the test screen that used to come on? And the national anthem? You know, those kind of things, they age you. How many remember when Coca-Cola was Coca-Cola and you opened it up and it smoked? And you couldn't chug a lug it. It made your eyes water. It burned out your nasal passages. There was no way you could chug a lug a bottle of Coke. Man, those days are gone. And things keep moving along. Things aren't going to, you know. How many remember when you used to love Jesus with all your heart? You loved him for more than being your savior. You loved him as your king. How many remember when you would never miss church because Jesus was not only Lord of your life, not only King, but the church was queen? Because that's where you went to hear the word of God. And that's where you went to fellowship. Man, things keep changing. They keep moving along. I've got a simple question I'm going to ask you this morning. I'm building on what we studied on Wednesday night in prayer meeting. If you would look at John and chapter 20 and the last two verses, verses 30 and 31, I'd appreciate it. There was a story that used to go like this. A little fella standing by the side of the road, big SUV pulled up next to him, big dark SUV, and drove up right next to him. And it was a stranger, and the stranger asked, he said, "Say, fella, how do you get to town from here?" And the little guy said, "I don't know." Well, he said, "How do you get to Route 20? The little guy said, "I don't know." "Well, where does this street go?" The little guy said, "I don't know." He said, "What's the name of this street?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Boy, you don't know much, do you?" He said, "I know I'm not lost." As a child of God, there may be a lot of things you don't understand in life, but you better know that you are not lost. Stand with me, please. Let's look at these last two verses. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Salvation is the greatest thing in this world. You take the world, give me Jesus. Without being born again, without salvation, without Jesus, life is, you know, it's going to end in a cold casket in a back room of a funeral home somewhere. And then from there, of course, you go from there. Before you'll never really get there. You go to hell. And I want you to understand, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, no matter how much this earth looks good, no matter how many trappings and things the devil or earth brings your way, if you're not born again, you're going to go to the devil's hell and burn forever and ever and ever. That's not a pleasant thought. That's not fun for any preacher to preach. That's why Jesus came. That's what I get to preach. And he went to the cross and he died in your place and he died in my place. Make sure you're born again. Before I pray, one more short prayer and we get into chapter 21. John here says, "These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." You see, Jesus did a lot of things that is not recorded in Holy Writ. And John alludes to that, and he alludes to it again at the end of chapter 21. There's so much that Jesus did, but God by design recorded certain things that we might know that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the only way to heaven. "These things have I written unto you that ye might know," the word "know," "that ye have eternal life." Father, would you again bless? God, again, I ask that you take over in this message and you do and accomplish what needs to be accomplished this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll start and end with this question this morning. I'm going to preach a good majority of chapter 21. I'm going to read a good majority of chapter 21 and preach just a little bit of chapter 21. But I ask you this question, the same question that it's a probing question. It's a wide open, bigger than life, hit you right between the eyes question. How much do you love Jesus? Don't answer out loud. You say, Pastor, I'm not really sure how I'd measure that and how I would answer that. I'll tell you ahead of time before I get to the message. You answer that by devotion and obedience, not words. How much do you love Christ? Peter, I understand. Peter was a man that just hours before said, Jesus, I'll never, never forsake you. Peter's the one that wielded the sword in the Garden of Gethsemane and hacked off the ear of the servant of the high priest. He said, Jesus, I'll never forsake you. And Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows twice, before morning, you'll have denied me three times. Chapter 21, verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. After these things, that's the things concerning the resurrection. Jesus appeared, we have it on record in the Holy Word of God, 10 times in his resurrected body, 10 times. This is the third time that he appears. He's seen of many people, but he says, after these things, after the resurrection, Jesus showed himself or manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's Galilee, by the way. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, that'd be James and John, the sons of thunder, and two other of his disciples. So Jesus, this event that we read in chapter 21 takes place in front of seven disciples. Verse 3 says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I can relate to Peter. He overestimates his own ability, and he underestimates the temptations and struggles of life. Peter's the one that says, I'll never forsake you, God. And yet before the night is finished, shamefully, and he weeps. He denies Christ three times. When the rubber met the road, and he had to stand up for Jesus in a crowd, and he had been the only one there, he turned tail and run. Now what we're reading here in chapter 21, I hope you can relate to this. Peter is a weak, guilty, inadequate child of God. Another way of saying it is Peter is a broken man. In spite of the resurrection, Peter has failed God again. And he says, I'm going fishing. And six other disciples, Peter's a leader. They said, man, we're going with you. They were fishermen before Jesus called them. Remember Matthew in chapter 4? Jesus said, hey, cast your net on the other side. They weren't catching a thing. They cast their net on the other side, and they got all kinds of fish, all kinds. And then it was Jesus that said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Man, so they were fishermen beforehand. Now, for 3 years, they'd followed Christ. But when the rubber meets the road, when push comes to shove, they forsake the Son of God. And Peter is a broken man. You can imagine. We can relate to this. He's filled with guilt. He's filled with a sense of total inadequacy. He's weak. And he goes back to the fishing. Now, you can say what you want about Peter. But what we're going to read in verse 4 and through the next several verses is Peter finds a way to run back to God. By the way, nobody ever backslides alone. That's a picture here of Peter going back to the old life. Now he's going to find out that in going back to the old life, there's no success. He catches nothing. He's exhausted. They fish all night long. He's a professional. He's a fisherman by trade. All right, and so that means they aren't throwing a bobber and a line in the water. They're casting nets and multiple boats, and all night long they're throwing those nets, and they're dragging them into the boat, and then they're throwing the nets again, and they're dragging them into the boat. Peter, rough and rugged fisherman, but he fishes all night, and he catches nothing. And I would warn you that if you go back to the world, you will be the most unsuccessful person in your workplace. you go back to the world, you'll end up being exhausted and fruitless as a child of God. And that's what Peter found. Theologically, don't get too hard on Peter, what we're reading here. Theologically, he hasn't yet received the Holy Spirit of God. This is pre-day of Pentecost. So don't be too hard on him. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit that seals us and indwells us and moves us and builds us up in the faith. Peter did not have that. But I will say this, it's true for everybody. Life is a tragedy without Jesus Christ. It's a train wreck on its way. It's like running your head into a block wall. It's a tragedy without Jesus Christ. And if you're someone that got born again, and that's as far as you've gone for God, I'm telling you, it is going to be a heartache of a life. The way of the transgressor is hard. Far better to let Jesus Christ lead in your life, surrender to his will, allow him to shepherd you, allow him to bless you. Oh, this is going to get real probing. We got to move real, real quickly. Look at verse 4. I want to read verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. An unfruitful, exhausting existence. Verse 4 says, and when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. In the gray light of the dawn, about 300 feet away, because the scripture tells us that a little bit later, about 300 feet away on shore, there's a figure of a man, and it's Jesus. And it says in verse 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. This is big. Don't miss this. That word children there actually means little ones. So they're boys, so it's boys, all right? He said, boys, do you have any breakfast? They're exhausted. They have completely been unsuccessful. The backslider knows what that's about. Things are going wrong real quickly. And this is just like Jesus. He said, boys, been a long night. Have you got any breakfast? And they say nothing. Read the next verse. Verse 6 says, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And John is thinking, I've seen this before. Peter's thinking, I've seen this before. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. I have no problem imagining exactly how this happened. So they're about 300 feet offshore, multiple boats, fishing all night, caught nothing. There's a man on the shore. There's something different about him. His voice carries over the water. He says, boys, you got any breakfast? They say, no, not a thing. And he says, cast your net on the other side. And they do, and the net is right full. 153 mega, it says great, mega fishes. And John looks at Peter, their eyes meet, and John says, it's Jesus. It's the master. Notice who jumps in the water. It's Peter. Broken, totally inadequate, filled with guilt, Peter. He grabs his fisher's coat, which was his work coat. He throws it on and he jumps into the water. I don't know how deep the water is. I know he's 300 feet out there. Maybe he swam a little bit and then he's running in water's hard work. We all know that, right? And he's running. He's doing the best he can to get to shore because that's where Jesus is. Peter turned away from God. I understand that. But Peter turned back to God. Amen. He did everything he could to get right with God. I would remind you that Jesus on the seashore, Jesus is always there. No matter what you're going through in life, he's standing back there in the shadows with his arms open wide. And if you'll just look toward him, he'll say, boys, daughter, have you had any breakfast? He's right there. And Jesus always provides. Let's look at Lamentations. Lamentations in chapter 3. Old Testament. Book of Lamentations. Chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Here's what the child of God will find if he follows Jesus, that Jesus is enough. He's going to find out that the Lord is his portion. He's going to find out that the mercies of God are new every morning. If you're here this morning watching live stream and you're guilty, you're broken, you feel totally inadequate, you have failed God again. Just like Peter. Jesus is standing there with arms open wide. Man, if you'll just heed his voice, jump out of the boat like Peter did. Find a way to get to the altar here this morning. Find a way to find forgiveness of sins and sustenance for your souls and bask in the presence of Jesus Christ again. He's willing to do that for you. That's what we're finding here in John and chapter 21. So Peter, he turns back to God. You turn from God, he's standing there waiting for you. And then you know what he says? Come and dine. Boys, you got any breakfast? No, sir. Come and dine. It's all here. It's all prepared. Bread, fish upon the fire, breakfast on the shore. This is all build up to what I want to get to this morning. And so I'm spending a lot of time in the build up. I'm going to try to pick this up just a little bit. Verse 8 says, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits or 300 feet, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread, breakfast on shore. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great Greek word mega fishes, and 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus always provides. Always. Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 9, he provides according to his riches and glory. He always supplies. If we are so human and so we are so prone to wander, just like Peter, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. You get on your own. You don't even need anybody else to help you sin. You don't even need anybody else to help you wander. We've got wandering hearts. That's what we've got. And as soon as we get out of sight of the shepherd, we start listening to the world. We start moving towards the world. We start doing like the world. We start talking like the world. It's a sad thing not to stay close to the shepherd when he's there on shore with fish and bread waiting all the time. And here's his message. Come and dine. And come on back. Peter wastes no time. He turns back to God. And then Peter gets a reality check. Verse 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So they eat. They're all around the coals, the fire. It's a beautiful morning. I picture the Sea of Galilee like glass, sun rising. They've got their bellies full. They're fellowshipping. They're probably laughing. They're talking with the master, just like it used to be. And then Jesus looks over at Peter and asks the most probing question ever asked a New Testament born again Christian. It says here in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. Notice he didn't call him Peter. It's kind of like your mom used to call you when you were in trouble, right? Timothy Scott Raider. You know, yeah, I knew I was in big trouble. If it wasn't Chip, sometimes with Chip I was in trouble too, but big trouble. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Couple things real quick. I'm going to fly through this quick and make application. Lovest. That's the word agapeo. It's the highest form of love. It is that self-sacrificing love that you'd be willing to give your life for the other person. That's divine love. That's the love that God has for this world. Jesus looks at Peter and over top of the fire. Maybe they were sitting right next to one another. Maybe it was across the fire, the coals. And he says, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? The highest form of love. Do you love me more than these? What's the these? The sunrise, the beauty of the Sea of Galilee, full net of fishes, success, fellowship with the brethren. He said, Peter, do you really love me? And Peter answers by saying, Lord, you know I'm fond of you. I love you like a brother. I'm fond of you. It's a notch below the agape love. Let's read on. Hey, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs, my little ones. Bosco means to literally feed them. Verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, agapeo thou me, love me. Do you love me with that highest echelon, that highest degree of love? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee, I am fond of you. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. Different word for word, feed there means to shepherd my sheep. Feed my lambs and shepherd my sheep. Now he's asked Peter twice so far if Peter really loves him. How many times did Peter deny Christ? Three times. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest. Now, let me stop right there. I used to think that Peter was grieved because three times Jesus asked him this question. But you do some word studies here and you find out that the third time Jesus said, Peter, are you even fond of me? He uses Peter's word. Do you even love me just a little bit? And it grieved Peter because he knew once again he was letting his God down. Once again, he was falling far short of what God has for him. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. Real quickly, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. It's a probing question. It was driven right at Peter in front of the other disciples. Greatest thing in the world is love. We read that in 1 Corinthians. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. That agapeo love that comes only from God, that the New Testament Christian can live out, it's a great motivator for the child of God. You can become a martyr. You can give your body to be burned. But if you're not doing it out of love for Christ, it's all for nothing. It's just literally that flash in the pan. It's just a moment in time, and there is no eternal good to it. We're to show God our great love. Let's look at a couple of passages, and then I'm going to try to bring this together as best I can. Go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 4. Deuteronomy and chapter 4. Or chapter 6, I'm sorry, and verse 4. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Look at chapter 10 of the same book of Deuteronomy in verse 12. I'm skipping a lot of good stuff here, obviously, where he says this over and over again. Verse 12 of chapter 10. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Jesus said in Matthew and chapter 22, turn over there, Matthew and chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt, this is the greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That is the greatest motivator. The best thing you can do on this earth, trim away all the trappings, eliminate all the paraphernalia of religionity. The best thing you can do is love the Lord Jesus with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Just love God. Peter, God, Jesus Christ drives this question at Peter. Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know I'm fond of you. Peter, do you agapeo, do you love me with all your heart? Peter says, oh, Lord, I love you like a brother, like a big brother. I'm very fond of you. And then Jesus said, Peter, are you even fond of me? And Peter was grieved. And he knew he was falling far short of the glory of God. He's already filled with guilt. He's already a broken man. Boy, he fell off the pedestal. And he recognized that. Go back to John chapter 21. I want to show you something that is wonderful. John in chapter 21 and verse 18. And you might be here this morning and you fit Peter. Man, you have failed God again and again and again and again. Again and again, you've had to get on your knees and say, God, forgive me. I did it again. God, forgive me. I'm such a wretch. I'm such a vile person. Hey, Lord, would you forgive me again? And Jesus is there every single time. Now, you know, you don't use him. He's not a lucky charm. That's not what it is at all. But he's there because you're his child and he's willing to forgive you. Peter needs some encouragement. That's what verse 18 is all about. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had thus spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. He's talking about Peter being one day crucified upside down. You know what he's telling Peter? Peter's so insecure. This is just like Jesus. Peter's there for forgiveness, and Jesus says to Peter, you're going to be okay, Peter. You're going to faithfully follow me. There'll be battles, and you're going to end up dying a martyr's death. You're going to be okay, Peter. And Peter's encouraged. And Peter knows that Jesus is everything he claimed to be. And then Jesus says these words, follow me. When Peter first met Jesus, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Peter learned so much. Peter grew in grace. He followed the master. Jesus, I'll never forsake you. The whole world can forsake you. You can count on me. In the garden, he wields his sword and takes the ear off the servant of the high priest. And Jesus puts the ear back on and says, Peter, put back your sword. My kingdom is not of this world. And he goes to the cross. Peter said, I'll never deny you. Jesus said, tonight before the cock crows twice, you'll have denied me three times. That third time, the rooster crowed, Peter ran out and wept. The Bible says, bitterly. He's a broken man. Then Jesus appears to him in to the disciples in his resurrected body. Total of 10 times. This is the third time that we're reading about right now. And Peter's back in the fishing boat. And he's not successful. And Jesus from the shore says, boys, you got any breakfast? They said, no. Cast your net on the other side. I know right away, John, Peter, sons of Zebedee, they're thinking, hey, we've seen this before. Net is right full of fish. Greg mentioned on Wednesday night, we studied some of this on Wednesday night. I wonder where Jesus got the fish that was on the coals there on the shore. I know where he got them. He looked out at the Sea of Galilee and said, and they swam right up to shore. Man, he's God the Son. And Jesus will meet your every need. Then Jesus says to Peter, how much do you love me? I ask you that question and myself that question this morning. How much do you love God? Let that sink in. How much do you love Jesus? Oh, I go to church. How much do you love Jesus? Do you love him more than these, the blessings of life, the pretty sunrise, the meal on the coals of fire, the fellowship of the brethren? The life is good, the blessings of life, success, the net is full of fishes. Do you love Jesus more than the blessings? Or do you love Jesus?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.